Hi guys, thanks for tuning in to episode 69 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. Today is Saturday, March 26, 2016. And today it is just me and Katie. We are without Darcy. It's a busy Easter weekend and Darcy was busy with family type stuff. So she is not here with us today, but we miss her. We are going to talk about the regular normal stuff, our works in progress, recent finished objects, casting on soon, acquisitions. We need to come up with a better name for acquisitions, I think.
Yeah.
Events, tiny bit of in the kitchen, reading and watching, and then we've got some podcast chatter at the end. So if you want to stick around and listen to that, we have some thoughts on an upcoming knit along that we haven't talked to Darcy about yet, so this will be news to her too if she decides she wants to listen to us chatter.
But we think she'll like the idea.
I think she will really like the idea. Gamifying knitting is right up her alley. So let's move on, or let's get started with works in progress. And I think Katie and I have, well, Katie has a little less. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go?
Yeah, I only got like one or two things. So I'm still working on my Age of Brass and Steam using Malabrigo, Silky in a colorway I didn't write down. It starts with an A. It's a pretty blue, darkish blue with purples. It looks really like watercolors when it's mixed together.
You wrote it in the, in our show.
I don't know how to say it. For all the Malabrigo I know.
A tardisera?
Yeah. I don't know Spanish.
Even knowing Spanish, I'm not sure how to say that one.
So, like 3/4 the way done with that. I'm trying to push through so I can get that done before Thursday, the end of Malabrigo March.
And how do you like the Silky Merino now? I know you weren't sure about it.
I think maybe if I was using different needles, it may make me a little bit happier. It's a little grippy on the
Addies. Oh, yeah, the silk, yeah.
Even though I'm using like an 8 or a 9, it still feels a little great. I mean, it slides. It's not like some other yarns where you have to fight the whole time.
Yeah.
But it's okay. I mean, it's not rocking. Like it's okay. And then I'm still working on the Ballet Desmond Mitts by Irish Girly Knits using Malabrigo Rios and Teal Feather. I have the first mitt done except for the thumb. And then I have the first repeat of the cable pattern and starting the thumb gusset on the second one. It's a really fast knit because it's not that many stitches. And even with cabling, it's really easy. So it's going pretty fast. That's all I got.
And I don't have, after last week's Whip-a-Palooza, or last episode's Whip-a-Palooza, I actually don't have very many whips because I got a lot off the needles and I've been really focusing on a couple of things. So the main thing I've been working on is my Hitofude. This is a paid pattern by Hiroku Fukatsu. And just as a recap, I'm using Miss Babs Katahdin in Ivies. It is, like I said, it's a paid pattern, but it's less than $2. It was 200 yen, which as of when I made these show notes, which was yesterday or the day before, was like $1.80, something like that. I am so close to being done with this. I've finished all of the charts and I am on the ribbing at the bottom. And there's, I think, nine rows of ribbing and I'm on the fourth. I think I was in the middle of a row when I quit last night. So I'm either 3.5 or 2.5 rows in. And it's at the point now where it's just ribbing and it's so boring and I want to put it down and move on to other things, but I won't let myself because I'm afraid that I would end up leaving it sitting there almost done. So that is really, really close. And that I thought I had 7 rows of ribbing and it turns out I have 9. It's taking me a good 30 minutes at least to get through one row. So I may possibly finish it this weekend. If not, it'll be early in the week. I actually brought that home from work so that I could spend more time on it. There's never a guarantee how much time I'll get to work on things. And this week I really didn't get very much time. So I'm glad I did that. And then the other thing I've touched, and this was only you know, actually I forgot to write something down, but at home, the only other thing I touched is the Call Me by Allie Coffey, who is Crafty Allie. And this is also a paid pattern. It's $4.50 on Ravelry. And I'm doing this in Cakewalk Yarns in the Peppermint Bark colorway, which is very hard to come by, but my mom had a skein that she gave me in November. And I started this, actually I started Allie's pattern, the Without a Sound with it, and then decided I didn't really like the way that was working and moved to Call Me, and I have not done very much on this at all. And this week I did a full repeat and that was it, but it was enough. It was enough. It was probably, I think a full repeat is about an inch. So I got an inch done on this and it'll probably go back in the whip pile for a little while. I don't know what I'm going to focus on after I focus on the heat of food day. We'll see.
And have you seamed it up yet?
Which?
Your heat of food day.
It doesn't have any seaming because it is the heat of food day apparently in Japanese means one stroke. So the idea is that you don't actually have any ends to weave in the end. And that's one of the reasons I chose to do it with Miss Babs, because it's a huge skein. And the only, there's one part, you do a provisional cast on at the very beginning, and then when you do have to seam the sleeves. And at that point, you do have a couple of ends, but the rest of it is all.
Have you done that part thing. Already?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So all you have to do is the last couple of rows.
I do the last couple of rows, bind it off, and block it. And weave the couple of ends in, and it will be ready to wear. And I have tried it on, and it fits. So I'm very eager to see what it feels like after I actually block it. Because right now it fits, but it's all, you know, scrunched up lace.
Yeah.
So that is, the other thing that I've been working on, I took the Hito Fude home from work, so I had to bring a project to work to leave up there, and I brought the Leona Dare, which I've talked about the past couple of podcasts, which is a paid pattern by Elizabeth Green Musselman. I don't remember how much the pattern was, and I forgot to look that up. I'm doing that in Sweet Georgia Tough Love sock in the Summer Skin, which is a kind of a robin's egg blue, and it's slate, which is a gray. And I'm making progress. It's just stockinette at this point, so it's not the most exciting thing. I think I got about an inch done this week at work, and I still have quite a lot of the stockinette portion to go on that. And then spinning wise, I am currently have on the wheel Three Waters Farm Rambouillet in Birds in the Holly, which was the December Top of the Month Club pick. And it is, it's so pretty. It's got turquoise and it's either black or very dark green. That's one of those, once I actually have it skeined up, I'll probably be able to tell when I'm spinning it. I just know that it's really dark. And some bright pops of red and really dark green like holly. And the colors are incredibly vibrant. A lot of the times with fiber, I've noticed that the fiber, it tends to be a little muted, and this is not at all. I don't have any idea what it's going to look like applied together. I finished the first half of it today, so I'll move on to the second half. I'll probably put that on the wheel later today. So that's what I'm working on and on the wheel. And then I've been working on a lot of the fiber samples from Fat Fiber Boxes in the mornings on my spindle. It's really relaxing over a cup of coffee, just kind of just sit and spin. And then a couple of weeks ago, I don't remember when this was, I broke out some row logs that I had bought from Blue Barn Fiber on Etsy that are Bamboo, Angelina, and Firestar in this Starry Night colorway. And when I bought these, I didn't actually look at the fiber content, and bamboo was really, really, really slippery. So these are actually a struggle. This is more of a struggle to spin than I thought it was going to be. I did a little bit and then I put it down, and I'll probably work on it some more, but I was getting the hang of it, but it was starting out. It was really hard to do. I probably should move it to a lighter spindle. I think it would probably work a little better, but those are all of my works in progress, I think. Yeah, that's it. and finished objects. You go back. Yeah, I've got a lot, so.
I only got two. I finished the RVA hat by Karen Troyer-Ladman. That was a test knit. She hasn't released it yet, but I would think it's coming here shortly. Because it's a real simple pattern, and I don't think there was really anything wrong with the pattern. Used Malabrigo worsted in pearl, which is a creamy white oatmeal color. It's just, I made the beanie, the small beanie. So, she had written the pattern for various sizes, including slouchy, but it's just textured stitches, with kind of a fast decrease so that you could put a pom-pom on the top. So I finished that. And, technically the lambing mitts are not done. All I have is a thumb. I just want them to go.
That's awesome.
By Veronica Job, using Malabrigo Twist in green gray, which is kind of a seafoamy blue green, green blue. Still a pretty color. I liked Malabrigo Twist too, so.
I've only used it once or twice, I think.
And it's a different feel, but I like.
It's thicker than the worsted. It seems it's a little bit heavier. I did a, I did a cowl for my husband. That was a waste. He's like, what do I do with this? So, but I thought it would, because he is, well, slightly more than amateur astronomer, and he used to go out in the backyard, and I thought it would be nice, but he hasn't actually been doing that as much. The light pollution is so bad in Houston that he feels like it's kind of a waste of his time to pull everything out. But so I did that, and that wasn't, I just remember it turned out bigger than I thought it would because it was just a bigger yarn. So look, my finished objects, I don't know. I had this huge pile of whips and I don't know where they all ended up because I don't really, looking at this is not a huge number of finished objects. I finished the Brancusi Mitts by Nell Knits, and this is a paid for pattern on Ravelry. It's a $6 pattern. And I used Malabrigo worsted in the Blue Surf, which is a really pretty tonal blue. It goes from kind of like, I guess, a dark sky blue to a really light, maybe, I guess, robin's egg blue. And these are cable-icious. They're cabled all the way. I mean, it's you've got some twisted stitches and cables going on all the way up and actually even up the thumb. So if you're not an experienced cable knitter, these would be a challenge. If you are an experienced cable knitter, they're a lot of fun, and it wasn't hard. It was hard on my hands after a while because you're doing twisted stitches every two rows on this.
Yeah.
So all the way up, it did make my hands ache a little bit, especially working with worsted. It was a slightly tighter gauge because they're mitts. So
what size did you knit those on?
I don't remember. Probably, I always have to go down at least about two needle sizes from what's in the pattern. These were probably knit on threes or fours.
That's your problem right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love Malabrigo on sevens.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. But they're super cozy. I don't know when I'll wear them in Houston. Well, I guess I do. I'll wear them at my desk. Because that's when it gets really cold. Although this week it's been really hot at my desk. And then I don't have it with me, but I finished the project that I am working on for the two knitlet chicks swap. And I know that more than likely the person doesn't actually listen, but you never know. So I don't want to go into details. I will say that I think I said before, it's a shawl and it's made out of a blue yarn and turned out really nice. And I can't wait to send it. I think that the person who's getting it is going to really like it. And I guess I will have sent that off before the next podcast. So the next podcast, maybe I'll talk more in detail about what the pattern was and I'll post a picture after the fact. The other knitted finished object I have is the Slipped Ridge Hat by Woolly Wormhead. Again, this is another paid pattern, $6 pattern from Ravelry. I use Madeline Tosh DK in the Modern Fair Isle colorway. And I really like the pattern, although it's a beanie and it's just not quite deep enough for my my preference. It fits me. But I wish I had added probably another inch just to give it just a little bit of a slouch. So this is more than likely going to just go in a gift bin. It will be a nice gift. You know, I should try and see if blocking it adds a little bit.
What kind of yarn is it again?
It's Merino Superwash. I think Tosh DK is Superwash.
That'll starch.
Yeah.
Superwash
starches. That's actually... I'm a little worried about doing it because the one time I did block a hat that I made out of Tosh DK, it grew so much that it was unwearable. But maybe if I just do kind of spray block it and stretch it out. That's a good idea. I'll try that before. Otherwise, it will make a nice gift for someone. I originally thought that it might be a gift for my husband. I mean, they're not terribly feminine colors, but he put it on. First of all, it was way too, I mean, it, like, circumference wise, it fit him, but the depth was not right. And it was pretty laughable. And he's like, no, this was made for a woman. I was like, well, technically the model in the picture is a man, but yeah, this yarn didn't work for him. It could work for some men. I think it doesn't work for him.
I can't see him wearing speckles.
No. No.
Or not in that pattern.
Could see maybe a darker yarn with some lighter speckles. Well, yeah. You don't really do that, but maybe, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, that didn't work out. And then the only other thing I finished was a skein of yarn that it was my last spin. It was Three Waters Farm, and it was Finn in the Bright Open Sky colorway. It is, again, with that turquoise. They really like the turquoise. It was like turquoise and kind of a salmon-y color and the, like, kind of like, what do you call it, like a cadet blue.
Yeah.
Kind of a little bit with some lighter pink, and it turned out really nice. It's a nice 2-ply, and I think I got just under 300 yards, 276, something like that maybe. So it'll make a nice cowl probably. Yeah, I really like that. This was the November colorway, so it's nice. I feel like it's really nice and autumny.
Yeah, that's what I was just gonna say. It's very fall, wintery. It's very masculine too.
Yeah, I could probably.
Yeah.
Even, I don't know.
Because you got the reds and stuff in there too.
It's nice. That turned out really nice. I'm happy with that. And then I lied. Non-knitting adventures. I do have two finished objects, I guess is what you would call them. I decided to break out the dyes that I had bought a year ago over spring break. Over spring break a year ago, I bought some dyes and then didn't do anything with them until a couple of weeks ago, and I decided that I wanted to dye some yarn. So I had one skein of, it's called Dye For Me Happy Feet. It's Happy Feet by Plymouth. I knew I had seen that somewhere on here when I was looking. So if you've ever knitted with Happy Feet, it's the same base. And I used the spruce colorway on this one, and it's really nice and tonal. There are a couple, I have very little dyeing experience, so there's some spots that maybe I could have stood to have a little more saturated, but I think this turned out really pretty. And then the other one was just, this was some Knit Picks Bear, I don't know which base it was, I just happened to have. I don't know where it came from. And I used the spruce, and I also used, I thought it was turquoise, but this color, it's much more of a royal blue. Yeah. And so I did both colors, and I think that turned out really nice too. This one has more spots, like where the ties were, where it didn't dye all the way through. But I was really happy with it, and it definitely gave me the itch to do some more. It was a lot of fun. I'd like to do more, maybe do some hand painting rather than kettle dyeing, and just play around with it.
Spruce one's pretty.
Yeah. I like the color a lot. And so it was a successful experiment. And then I didn't know where to put this, but just other things that I've been doing. I've been doing a lot of photography, and I've mentioned a couple of times I got a new lens. We went out to Brazos Bend State Park last weekend, and I took a lot of alligator pictures. I posted a few on Instagram. All of the ones I took are on Flickr. And then I think I posted one or two on Elo. I did, if anybody has joined Elo, I am on there as Summer Yarns too. Feel free to add me. But I'm really, really enjoying working with the new lens and the new camera. I'm learning a lot. And I took some, if I may say so myself, I took some really good pictures last weekend. And, so that's all of my finished objects. Casting on soon. Back to Katie.
I don't know. I want to knit all the things, but I don't actually knit. It's kind of like, eh. The only thing I really have in the pipeline is the Reina shawl, by Nora Lavola. Using some speckly yarn, Savvy Skeins Kamal sock. So it's, you know, the cream colored base with flecks of colors in it.
Kind of, probably kind of like.
Yeah, it's the, in that
bag right yeah, there. Yeah, actually it's, yeah, it's pretty similar to the Malabrigo. So I mean, the.
It's got some blue. Montage. Yeah, purple, some yellows. So, give that a try. It's wound already. It looks already. A lot like that. Yeah. Of course, I've got yarn pulled out for a whole bunch of shawls and stuff, but they're shawls. They take forever.
Yeah, I want to knit all the things, too, but I'm really trying to focus and get some things done. I think we're getting close enough to Stash Dash that I'll probably...
Start needles.
Yeah, start. Yeah, so I can have things to finish during Stash Dash. I know the last episode I watched, Laura and Leslie were laughing about people who were already like putting things aside that they could finish for Stash Dash. But I wasn't then, but now I'm starting to think about that. The only thing that I know for sure that I'll cast on pretty soon, I'm gonna do the Malabrigo head thingy. I talked about the cowl that I had done for my husband. It was the Malabrigo neck thingy. There was a series that was the cowl, mitts, and the hat. And I think I'm going to use this pattern. I don't know what yarn I'm going to use, but for the Into the Wool retreat, one of the knit alongs is for hats to donate for Silly Fru does hats for Grammy every year. And I think I'm going to use this pattern and grab some of my acrylic and knit one up. So nothing exciting there. No other concrete plans. And that's why I've been hesitating to cast anything on for it, but I have some in my stash that's acrylic and wool, like the Plymouth, Galway, maybe, I think is what it is.
Encore,
that's what it is.
In my car, maybe yeah. I'll see if there's something in there.
Yeah. I know the, someone had asked if one of, like, Plymouth Encore or something like that that has some wool and acrylic in it would work, and she, Silly Fru said that that would be perfect. So I think I have some.
They just don't want 100% wool.
Right, it just needs to be washable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And super wash can be a gamble because it can stretch.
Right, like Malabrigo Rios is super wash, but I've washed stuff before with that and does not keep its prettiness at all.
Or it might bleed really bad or something where a commercial yarn wouldn't as much. Right,
yeah, so I think I have some things in there that I'll stash dive and come up with something for that. Acquisitions.
I got some.
Okay.
We're not going to talk about the 16-pound box of yarn I got, but we'll talk about... I got some Spun Right Round.
Oh, that's pretty.
Have you ever gotten any of this?
I've had her fiber, but I've never had yarn.
So I got two skeins of the Superwash Sock 80-20. I got Graffiti Overlay.
I've seen that one before, and that one is really pretty.
And Chalkboard. Mm-hmm. And then a snappy sock, which is 75% superwash corydell with 25% nylon. And this is Shock Star. So it's a cream colored base with basically highlighter colors splashed throughout.
Those are all really pretty. I've never seen any corydell sock yarn. I know someone recently has mentioned some on some podcasts I was watching or listening to, but I've never actually seen it in anybody's store. It feels nice. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of BFL a little bit. It feels
very nice. Yeah, I think I have some BFL stuff, my three Irish girls stuff upstairs. So. But yeah, so, you know, someday we'll make socks.
I don't have a whole lot. I did get some fiber from Rock and Strain Yarn on Etsy. I got two braids, one with BFL silk in the denim colorway, and one superwash BFL in Mine of the Seven Dwarves. And the Mine of the Seven Dwarves has some of the, a really similar blue to the denim. So I think what I'm going to do is actually spin those separately and then ply them together. So I have a nice, good amount that I could do a nice shawl for it or with it or something like that at some point. That's at the bottom of my spinning list at the moment. So there's that. And then I bought a t-shirt from Hot Knit Yarns, and I'm actually wearing it right now. It says, if I can't take my yarn, I'm not going.
Because they can see you.
Yes, I'm showing it to you. Good there. Yeah. And I'm reading it, yes. But it's just a gray. Actually, I really like the cut of the shirt. It's got kind of a boat neck, and it's really nice and soft and roomy. And the, transfer. It's kind of sparkly. So I really like that. It was one of those I saw, and I'm really good. I don't have to ask permission about things I buy, but I'll kind of, if I'm starting to feel bad about the number of packages I'm getting, I'll text Jimmy. I'm like, I'm going to buy this. Is there any reason why I shouldn't? And I mean, honestly, I would like him to do the same. So it's not.
Does he?
He doesn't buy a whole lot online. And he's been buying a lot of, like, electronics, little gizmo-type things from Adafruit. He's been building a lot of, just, like, circuitry-type, maker-type stuff. And he hasn't been asking. So every time I ask, he's like, you know, you don't have to ask permission. I'm like, I know, but it keeps me accountable.
Yeah.
So I texted him this. He's like, you don't have to ask. I'm like, okay. So bye. Then I also got a fat fiber box. I have the magic touch when it comes to fat fiber boxes. I don't know if they are less popular or if they are maybe adding more to the shop now. Skills
too.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm good with a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah, this
too.
One, I'll set a timer and I'll be on the site right beforehand, know what I want, and I'll get in there. And yeah. Every time I've tried, I've gotten one. So this one, I don't buy one. I would say probably I get one once or twice a year. Because I spend the samples, you know, over breakfast. You know, it's not like I do a whole lot of it. So they kind of pile up. And when I start getting low on them, then I start thinking about it. But sometimes the theme just grabs me. And this one was Wizard of Oz. And I've always loved Wizard of Oz. So I had to have this one. So I got that. And I got it on, I think maybe Thursday it came in. And usually I've gotten a mixed box, which has usually some mini skeins, lots of stitch markers, and some fiber. And I just got the fiber box this time. So it had a couple of stitch markers, but then probably 20 samples of yarn. I mean, no, 20 samples of fiber. And it was like a spinner's dream.
So how much fiber do you get?
Usually get maybe half an ounce. It's not a whole lot. I can usually get maybe 30 to 40 yards out of it. Enough. Mm-hmm. But my plan is to make bracelets and just make little cuffs with them. I can't really think of anything else. I could use them in the sock yarn blanket, but I usually spin them just a little bit thicker, and I'm kind of afraid of the colors running or it not standing up as well as the sock yarn, and I don't want the blanket to fall apart. So I'm sure there are other little things I could do, but I feel like just doing a whole bunch of cuffs or bookmarks. You could do just something small. Or I could put them all in a vase or something and just let them look pretty.
Yeah.
But it's fun to see. And I've actually, I mean, of course, the point of them is to give exposure to the dyers.
Right.
And there have definitely been some that I've gone back and bought either the colorway that was in the box or bought more from that dyer because I liked the way, you know, the prep or whatever. So that is all of my, that's all of my current acquisitions. I did on impulse make a purchase from Sucre Miniatures this morning. So when those come in, I'll talk about those. Events, we've talked about all of these the past couple of times we recorded, but Katie and I are still planning to go to the Yellow Rose Fiber Fiesta. We will be there on April 16th. Oh, that was the,
oh, I
was
just, that not was, a, it's not an issue.
Yeah. Well, I was also thinking that's actually when we were going to, probably would be when we recorded next. So
That may, maybe we that, can talk about Sunday yeah. or something.
Yeah, so we'll probably... That could mess up our recording schedule for April, but shouldn't be a problem. And then Houston Fiber Fest is June 24th and 25th in Cypress, Texas, which is just northwest of Houston. And Katie will likely be there on that Friday, and me and Darcy, Summer and Darcy, will likely be there on June 25th. That's still far enough out that we haven't made any definite plans on that. Katie better not buy all the arborists. I know, I've been checking periodically just to see who's going to be there. Last year, it was really good. There were some really good dyers.
I'm assuming Diane would probably be there.
She was last year. She was in the
Savvy Scenes, I know for sure.
Now she will be. Last year, I think she had just started dyeing. I think she had a few things at the Yarntopia booth, but by the time I got there, it was pretty bare. But, I know Diane was in the same booth with Western Skynets last year.
Well, they're technically kind of local, right?
Yeah, one of them's Montana, one of them's Texas. Or the Woodlands, so I think.
Would hopefully be there again.
Yeah, so it was for a first time Fiber Festival. I thought it was really, really good. There were good vendors, seemed to be a really good turnout, and a lot of selection. And I'm really looking forward to both of those, especially since we aren't able to go to DFW Fiberfest.
Not planning on stitches either.
Yeah, and since the next thing we're going to be going to is into the Wool Fiber Retreat, which is over Labor Day weekend in Crossville, Tennessee. I think there might have still been one or two spots available for that if anyone is interested.
But your money would be due.
Like this week. Yeah. And that's right before, that's just a couple of weeks before stitches, so.
We'll see.
I might be able to convince my husband that I need another break after coming back from work, or going back to work.
To see who the vendors are.
Yeah, we'll see who's gonna be there. If it's similar to, Houston Fiber Fest.
True. Yeah.
We'll have to see. It was a lot of fun last year. I'm not counting it out. But since we're not going to DFW falls on my husband's birthday weekend, so I couldn't go. And I'm kind of in mourning. That's next weekend.
We're sad.
Yeah, we're sad. And I'm going to miss seeing people that I know are going to be there. But,
some good vendors too.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're in the Dallas area and you don't know, I don't know, if you're listening to podcasts and you don't know about the DFW Fiberfest, I would be surprised, but that's next weekend in Irving. And again, we won't be there. But so my grabby fingers are getting itchy knowing that I could be going. So I'm really looking forward to Yellow Rose, which is just a couple of weeks later. And then non-netting related, I just thought I would mention that Texas Library Association Conference is in Houston this year. And I know there's a lot of knitting librarians. So I haven't run across anybody on Ravelry that I'm friends with that I, any of the podcast listeners, no one has stood out as a fairly local librarian. But if you happen to be going to Texas Library Association, I know Darcy and I are both going. Katie is not going, but, just let me know. We could meet up and just say hi. And then I will be going to Indianapolis in mid-May for a work conference, and I will be there for 8 days. And I would not think that I'll actually have time to meet up with anybody, but if anybody has suggestions for yarn shops or restaurants in the downtown area, actually one of the things that I would really like to know is how walkable downtown, and I Googled it and it's apparently one of the most walkable downtowns in the United States. But I know that there are two yarn stores within about a mile and a half of the hotel where I'm staying. But I don't know how walkable that is. So if anybody happens to know and can fill me in or give me suggestions, I will be there. I'm flying in on May 18th and my conference my training doesn't start until the 19th. So I actually would have some time that day and possibly on the 26th when I'm flying out, but I would say that day I'm probably going to be exhausted. So if on the 19th, which is a Wednesday, or 18th, anybody has a free afternoon, let me know. Maybe we could meet up. In the kitchen, I don't even know why this is called kitchen. kitchen stitches anymore sometimes because I have just not been in the kitchen very much. Darcy sometimes does. I know she's got some stuff brewing. And I know, Katie, you don't cook, do you, for the most part?
Cook, no. I make lots of blueberry muffins.
Oh, that's true. Lately, there has not been much kitchen talk, but I did want to talk. The one thing, this was a surprise for me. So I've mentioned several times that we've been doing Blue Apron meals. And one of the meals, was maybe last week, was baked eggs with cheesy garlic bread. And this is the strangest combination, and I never ever would have tried this had it not been sent to me. But it was shredded Brussels sprouts and, like potatoes. So you like pan fry the potatoes and the Brussels sprouts to get them soft. And then crack eggs on top of it and top it with, I think it's either Gruyere or Fontina cheese and bake it for just a little bit. And it was so good. I was completely shocked. I was going into this meal with this opinion that this was, you know, maybe it would be edible. But I wasn't sure I was going to really like it that much. And then it also had garlic bread or cheesy garlic bread that was just, you said it was a baguette, but it was clearly like a little ciabatta roll that you cut and put garlic butter and Parmesan cheese down in it and bake it. And this was, I think, absolutely one of my favorite Blue Apron meals. Even Eli, my 17-year-old, was raving about it and talking about how good it was. It was talk about a sleeper. It was a complete surprise. I'm actually really curious. My daughter will not touch Brussels sprouts. Now, I grew up not touching Brussels sprouts, but I learned that I like them. I like them roasted and then shredded like this and fried is just like cabbage. That's one of the things that I've learned that I like too.
Shredding them's a pain.
Yeah. Yeah. This was not, yeah, that wasn't fun, but I don't know if Laura would like it or not. I don't know if she would even be willing to try it, but I'm actually curious to see if she will when she's home for the summer, which she'll be back in just about 6 weeks. So I'm excited for that. Reading and watching. I've been talking a while.
I'll let Katie talk. Reading. Let's see. I finished Night Study by Maria V. Snyder. It's the fifth or sixth book in a series that started with Poison Study about this girl, Yelena, who in Poison Study starts off as, she's condemned to death. And so her option is to become the tester, the food tester for the commander or be put to death. And so she's next in line and she chooses to be the food tester, and so then the story moves on that she, you know, survives being the food tester and is reunited with her family that she'd been kidnapped from years ago, and so it's fantasy, and she has a significant other named Valak, who is this warrior assassin who was her mentor and whatnot. Night City was okay. The premise of that novel is that she has lost her magic, and so we don't know why she has lost her magic, and of course her and her band of friends are trying to still fight evil and, you know, protect the two world nations and all this other stuff. And then I started These Shallow Graves by Jennifer Donnelly. It is young adult. It is historical fiction. I would say kind of mystery a little bit, or there's mystery in it. A tinge of romance. It's about this girl named Josephine Montfort. It was in the late 1890s, maybe? It's definitely after the Civil War, but before 1900. So it's in that range there. She's from a wealthy family in New York, and she's at boarding school, finishing school, and gets the news that her father has died, committed suicide. And she's like, well, that's not right. You know, he knows how to handle guns and whatever. So she gets called home and starts to discover that maybe it wasn't suicide. She thinks he was murdered. And so she's on her and this boy, reporter are unraveling the mystery of why her father was killed. And now these other people are starting to be killed that were in the circle of his friends. So I'm about three-fourths the way through it. I like it.
I have a few Jennifer Donnelly books on my list of to read, but I've never read any of hers.
I read Northern Lights a long time ago. I like it. I mean, it's an easy read because it's YA, and there's a little bit of mystery. There's the, you know, the secret street gang that her friend Eddie used to be part of. So she keeps encountering them. So there's all that. And then I don't usually do audiobooks, but I thought I would listen to this, The Happiness Project by Gretchen Rubin. So I'm about two and a half hours into that because I can only do about 20 or 30 minutes at a time on the bus because I have to pay attention to it. It's not like something I can just have on in the background while I'm doing something at work.
I tried to get back into listening to audiobooks back in the fall, and I just can't do it. I used to drive for my commute. Now I ride the bus, and so I can actually read a book. I would listen to a lot, and I had probably about a 20-30 minute commute, and I've listened to a lot at that point, but that was before I discovered podcasts. So now if I'm in the car for any extended period by myself, I'm listening to podcasts and not audiobooks. So
yeah. Well, I love podcasts, and that's primarily what I listen to. I can't really tell you the last time I listened to music. My issue is that sometimes, even though I have a pair of Bose headphones, sometimes the sound quality of a podcast is very up and down, especially if you have like two people. One person will be really loud and the other person will be soft.
So if you're having that problem with our...
Let us know.
Let us know, because we have a very, very basic setup, as in we use an iPad. And I've listened back to it and it doesn't seem to be a problem, but if anybody else is picking up, you know, issues, let us know. Cause I mean, I will be willing to, you know, to kind of, you know, to come up with some other ideas, right. But.
So I sometimes, if I start, you know, if I have to turn it up when one person's talking and turn it down, I don't want to do that the whole hour. So I'll save that for when I'm at work and I don't have that back. Cause I sit in the back of the bus where the engine is and it's loud. So. I've been alternating. That's all I got.
So I've actually finished several things. I think I've just been picking up smaller things because I'm not a fast reader necessarily. I would say I'm just average. I finished Revolver by Marcus Sedgwick. I don't know if that's technically considered a YA novel. It was kind of the subject matter. The main character was probably late teens. But the subject matter definitely wasn't what I would consider. It's not light. I mean, not that YA novels are light, but it wasn't written. It didn't feel like a YA novel. It was set in the early 1900s in, I think it was in Finland. It was somewhere very, very cold. And part of it was set in Nome, Alaska, but they had moved. And they were never completely clear where the second part was. But the main character's father was killed. Or, no. He wasn't killed, but he was found dead on the ice. He had fallen through the ice and then had frozen to death. It was very bleak. But the main character, his sister and stepmother had gone to the town to find help, and someone shows up, and it's very... very tense situation. It would probably make a pretty good movie. I don't remember how many stars I gave it. I probably gave it 4 stars. It kept my attention for sure. It was very quick, less than 300 pages, maybe less than 200 pages. A pretty quick read. If you like that kind of thing, kind of just very tense, not quite thriller, but just, you know, I don't even know what you would consider that. It was good. I'll put it that way. Then I read Beacon 23 by Hugh Howey. And this was originally a serial that was put out, like a chapter at a time on, I think through Amazon, what do they call them? The Amazon singles. That's what they call it. And it was sci-fi set on a satellite beacon in space. It was futuristic. It was kind of like a lighthouse in space, and the guy's duty was to make sure that people coming through, it was like a wormhole or something, would, you know, they knew that there were, I think maybe it was an asteroid belt or something that was right there. And it was the story of this guy. He was suffering from PTSD from the war, that there had been some war, and he ends up, they end up putting up another beacon within a, you know, a pretty short distance of him, and he meets the person that's on it. It was five parts. Each one, like I said, had been a standalone single. And it was really good. It reminded me, it was compared kind of to The Martian, because you've got this guy out in space by himself. And then I can't remember what the other comparison was. If you like sci-fi, if you liked The Martian, a little bit of a, you know, kind of an action, you know, on the edge of your seat type thing, I would recommend this one. This one, it was also really short. I think this one was less than 200 pages. I really like that, and it was pretty cheap on Amazon, on Kindle. I think it's only available on Kindle. I think there is a hard copy of it now. I just finished yesterday. Yeah, I think I finished it yesterday. Endangered Species by Nevada Barr, which is the fourth or fifth. In the Anna Pigeon series, all of them are set in different national parks. This one was set in Cumberland Island National Seashore in Georgia. And the premise of this one, Anna is currently on the fire brigade, I guess, for the national parks. And they've come to Cumberland Island to just basically monitor the island. They're in a drought, and they're kind of pre-suppression to make sure that nothing, you know, no fires flare up. And there is a plane crash, and there's a mystery behind who. It turns out that the plane, of course, was sabotaged, and she's sleuthing on her own, like she's not supposed to, and getting herself into dangerous situations, as is always the case in these types of books.
Of course.
Where she's trying to figure out who killed, you know, who sabotaged it and why it was. And it was like any murder mystery series. It was enjoyable. I will keep reading the series, but it wasn't the best one I've read. I gave it 3 stars. I think the other ones that I've read, I've probably given 4 stars. This one didn't hold my attention quite as well as the others. And then last night I picked up to start reading The Supernaturalist by Owen Colfer, which is a children's book, like, or kind of middle school age book. And it's also sci-fi, and I couldn't tell you anything about it because I fell asleep after reading not even a page. So I'm starting that one. I think that, again, it's a kid's book, so that'll be another short read. What I'm watching, we are still continuing to watch 11/22/63, which is based on Stephen King's novel about the JFK assassination. It's a time travel book. And I liked the book better. I mean, that's often the case. But there are some things about the show that really, really bother me, that I know that it's necessary. There was a lot of internal monologue in the book. So they've added this character to kind of be the, I don't know what you call that plot device, but so that you can get that what was internal monologue, they have to play it out somehow. And the character is so annoying. I really hate this character, and it makes me so mad because I know that he wasn't in the book.
Oh.
I'm like, I hate him, and I know he's not supposed to be there. But there are two more episodes coming out this Monday and then the next Monday, and it's over. It was good. I don't know that I would, like, we paid, it's on Hulu, and we paid for a subscription to Hulu just so we could watch it. If you don't have Hulu already, I'm not sure that I would recommend it, unless you are a diehard Stephen King fan. We've also been watching The Magicians, which is based on the series by Lev Grossman, which when it came out, it was kind of touted as the Harry Potter for adults. It is, there's magic, And there's a school for magic. And that's about the only comparison you can make between Harry Potter and it. And it's very dark. And it's one of those, again, that I've only read the first book in the series. I know my husband has read the three that have come out so far and really loved it. I know that Heidi, Nitty Girl, really likes the series. I think she's done a colorway or a couple of colorways that are based on the book. I liked the book. It's one of those. My husband was really annoyed at me this week when we were watching it because I kept picking up my phone and doing other things. And he's really into it, and he couldn't understand why I couldn't just sit and watch it. And for me, it's just so intense that I can't pay. It makes me uncomfortable. I have to kind of divide my attention on that. But if you liked the books, I would recommend it. There are definitely some changes, but if that doesn't really bother you, I would recommend watching it. We watched The Bridge of Spies, which was one of the Oscar nominees this year, with Tom Hanks, and I actually don't remember who else was in it, if there was any other big names, but it was it's a Russian spy movie, basically. I'm trying to remember. Oh, yeah, there was a guy who was arrested and accused of being, well, he clearly is a Russian spy. There's no doubt about it. He is a Russian spy. Tom Hanks defends him. And then a fighter pilot is downed in Russia who was taking pictures. And so he was an American spy, and so there's a trade. And it was really good. It was an Oscar nominee for a reason. I really liked it. I love Tom Hanks in just about everything I see him in. And then the only other thing, we've watched one episode, and I keep meaning to watch more, is Gilmore Girls, which I'm way, way, way late to the party. I mean, like, years late to the party. This is my first time ever watching it, and we aren't even through season one.
Wow.
And I really like it. I'm just like,
where have you been?
I know where I was. I had really small children and very little time to watch television because this came out, I guess, like, was it early 2000s? So my kids were like preschool age when it came out. And so I didn't get into it when it started. And then for some reason, never picked up on it. I guess, you know, it was pre-Netflix. It was, it wasn't easy to just pick up on a series at the time. But now, we have binge watched a little bit, but Jimmy likes to watch it, but he likes the more sci-fi type stuff more, so we end up watching that more. He tends to control the remote. I don't really care. I'm knitting, so I don't.
Control, so.
Yeah. Yeah, just, so Jimmy tends to, he will watch what I want to watch, but I tend to just let him choose. And I usually don't care what's on, as long as there's something to keep my hands busy while we watch. I'm trying to remember. I thought we watched something last night. I guess it was, we're watching 11/22/63. But, that's pretty much, I think that's all of the knitting and TV.
Were you a fan of West Wing?
I never watched West Wing.
Oh, they're doing a West Wing podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're going to go through each episode of West Wing and Joshua Molina. And then they're going to talk about it and podcast about it.
Well, see, that might be, that could get me into that.
I loved West Wing.
That's another one.
I didn't like the last season, but I loved West Wing. I'm like, I don't have it on DVD, but I'm like, I don't need to buy the DVDs.
It's on, at least it was on, I know you didn't have Netflix at one point.
I should, for my love of Kevin Spacey, I should have.
You should have Netflix.
You
would never leave it.
But Dave wants to get a new DVR. Mm-hmm. Because they were trying to talk him into the X1 fancy DVR. Oh. So last weekend I was supposed to watch everything on the DVR because I'm not going to watch War and Peace, so that can all go. But I still have an episode of X-Files, a couple episodes of One Calls the Heart, and I probably won't watch Shadowhunters, and maybe one or two other things. So, but I do have, a good, 6 hours of TV. So last weekend I was supposed to do that, but I had to clean because we had friends over. And so this weekend, of course, it's supposed to be nice out when I would want to sit out on the patio before it's too humid. So my countdown has begun to clear the DVR.
Yeah, we watched, that was the other thing this week. We watched a couple of episodes of Daredevil on Netflix, and neither one of us really liked it that much. So we won't continue with that one. There's a whole list of things that we want to watch. We've been watching, for those of you in Texas, there's a PBS show called The Day Tripper, which is filmed out of, I think it's filmed out of UT's film studio, where they take road trip or day trips to different towns in Texas and talk about all the things you can do and places to eat and that kind of stuff. And we've been hooked on that for a while. So we've been watching some of those too. So we have a little bit of podcast chatter. I know Katie started a thread in the group. I'm gonna let her. I'll let you talk about that.
Well, if there's any questions you want to ask us, go ahead. We'll try our best to answer them. So if you have a burning reference question or something you want us to talk about, or a personal question that's not too personal.
Yeah.
Feel free to put it there in the thread, and we will do our best to answer it either on the podcast or maybe just on the board, depending on what it is.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how many questions we get. We really want to get more participation on the board. It's never been a very active board, and we've got about we have 112 members right now, and it's kind of hovered around that for a long time. So we would love to get more people. If you have a podcast and you're enjoying listening, if you want to give us a shout out and let other people know, especially since, you know, some people may be familiar with the podcast, but maybe they got bored of listening to me talk to myself, and you let them know that there's a new format and,
yeah, because we didn't go away for like 2 months.
Yeah, so, you know, I'd love the promotion. Also, iTunes reviews, if anybody wants to leave us an iTunes review, that would be much appreciated. It's been over a year since a new one has been posted, so that would be great as well.
Or if there's something you want to hear us talk about, right. Or...
Yeah, I mean, we've got a what do you ask us anything, we can open up a what do you want to hear about thread. We are talking about some knit-along ideas. We really want to start one. Darcy's not here today, so we didn't want to flesh out anything big, but we came up with what we think is a pretty good plan for the summer. So we're gonna run that past Darcy this week, and by the next time we podcast, we will have hard and fast ideas about an upcoming knit-along. And also, if you have any, that's another one. We said we were going to open up a thread for knit-along ideas. If you have any ideas that you would like to see for future knit-alongs, you can post that and let us know. Other than that, I guess that's...
You want to share your...
Oh, yeah.
Your just, news?
Yeah, my news. This has been a stressful few weeks. I applied for a new position at my... Very complicated. It's literally my new desk is 10 feet away from my old desk, but I got a new position that I start on Monday that is a lot more responsibility. It's going to be a lot more stressful, I think, but it's exciting, and I'm excited about learning new things. It better not knock off my knitting time. It's like knitting is my grounding time.
Like you need to set boundaries.
Yes, this week I haven't. I try to take a 15-minute break in the morning, a 15-minute break in the afternoon, and then I probably knit at lunch 3 or 4 days a week. And I'm really hoping that I can stick to that. I'll have a new boss, so I'll kind of have to feel her out and see, the person who was in my job previously took a lot of work home, and that is not something that I am interested in doing. So I'm hoping that that isn't going to be an expectation. I don't think my counterpart in my new job does take much home. So we will have to see. Hopefully it shouldn't affect anything to do with the podcast because it's weekend. And
I tell them what it is.
Oh, well, yeah. I can tell. So it's... I think the official title is systems librarian. It's a systems administrator position, which is if there's anybody in the library world listening, you will know what I'm talking about. Otherwise, it's back end stuff involved with like the library catalog and library accounts. All of the settings for it's the person responsible for making sure the library is set up for how many checkouts people get and that you're charged the right amount in your accounts and how the catalog shows up, if something's missing. I mean, all of the back end stuff that you see when you go to the catalog or when you log into your library account, this is the administrator for that particular part of the software. And it's for my current library plus 7 other libraries in the Houston and Texas area. There's actually several a few from east of us by about 100 miles, kind of near Beaumont. And then Huntsville, which is north of us, and Lancaster, which is actually up near the Dallas area, but it's a consortium, so they took advantage of being part of a bigger group. So and Bel Air City Library, which is a town in the middle of Houston, basically. So it is a lot more responsibility than what I had going in, but it's exciting, and hopefully I won't lose my mind over it. But so yeah, that's my news. I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
No.
Okay. We will talk to you. Like I said, the 3 week mark from when we would have recorded would be the weekend of
Yellow Rose.
So unless we try to, I hope that Darcy can actually, you know what? She was working that weekend, which is why she wasn't going.
Oh, because of TLA.
Yeah, because she wasn't. So maybe we'll record on the road or
we'll something. We'll look at her schedule and see.
Maybe she would be willing to do that. Yeah, so look for us in a few weeks. And until then, we hope you have a good few weeks and happy knitting.
Happy knitting.
Bye.